Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's turn now to statewide politics and the race for attorney general and the two Republicans vowing to oust Democrat Maura Healey as the state's top law enforcer, Jay McMahon and Dan Shores. Healey has received a lot of national attention for filing dozens of legal actions against the Trump administration in support of immigrants, environmental protection, and consumer rights, among other issues. The two Republicans running against her argue these actions are not in the best interests of Massachusetts residents. They hope to take on Maura Healey in November, but before that, they'll face off against each other in the Republican primary on September 4th. Jay McMahon and Dan Shores are both Cape Cod attorneys, and they're with us now in the studio to make their case. And gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we'd like to invite you to participate in this as well. If you have a question you'd like to ask the Republican candidates for state AG, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. Now, we flipped a coin, and Jay McMahon won. So first question to you, but I'm going to ask the same question to you, Dan Shores. Before we dive into specific issues, tell us something about your background that makes you the best candidate for Massachusetts Attorney General.
Well, I've got 6 years of law enforcement experience. I got 6 years military. I was second lieutenant in the military police in the Army National Guard. I've been a lawyer since 1988, trial lawyer. I've had thousands of cases in the court system for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the same place where the Attorney General operates. I have cases at every level of court. I've got civil and criminal cases. I've got a case before the SJC. I've got a couple of cases in the appeals court, a couple in the Superior Court, criminal and civil, and a couple in the district court. A handful in the district court, and some in the probate court as well. So I do trial work. That's about all I do is trial work. I'm a litigator.
Lots of experience in the field of litigation. How about you, Dan Shores? What qualifies you to run for attorney general and to be attorney general?
First of all, I've got exceedingly strong Massachusetts roots. I'm from a blue-collar family here in Massachusetts. I put myself through college and law school. I'm a proud graduate of the Georgetown University Law Center in Washington, D.C. I was a member of the Law Review at Georgetown, and I was a member of the editorial board of the Law Review at Georgetown. And I was recruited. I worked as a litigation lawyer at two firms in high-stakes intellectual property complex IP cases in federal district courts. I worked at two firms, one of which was called Latham & Watkins, which is a 200-plus lawyer law firm, and which is 10 times the size of the Attorney General's office. So I have large institutional experience that I bring to the table. And I'm also the chairman of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy Board of Trustees down in Buzzards Bay. That's a public administration experience that I hold, and the MMA has a budget that exceeds $50 million, which exceeds that of the Attorney General's office. Overall, I think that what I bring to the table is a very strong reform message to get politics out of the Attorney General's office. And I'm the only candidate that has really talked about getting politics out of the AG's office and returning it to what its true purpose is.
Okay, and we're going to actually be able to spend a little time on that specific issue. But let me start with a big issue that I know is of a concern to both of you and to lots of folks across Massachusetts, and that is the opioid addiction crisis. You've both said that focusing on the epidemic is one of your top priorities. What would your approach be as Attorney General? Back to you, Jay McMahon.
Okay, well, I've been campaigning on this issue, I got a three-prong approach. As you know, I got a personal experience in with this. I've lost my son to the opioid crisis. No parent should have to bury their child. And I've been campaigning, been meeting with groups, parenting support groups, and I'm finding that the government programs are a failure. Massachusetts is the medical capital of the world, and yet we can't seem to take care of this opiate crisis. Well, the truth is we can, but not through the present government programs. So I got a three-prong approach, and it goes like this. We need effective and successful rehabilitation programs. They're available, but they're private pay. They have an 87% success rate, but they're private pay programs. And I can talk about that in a little bit. The second approach is the is drying up the source of heroin and fentanyl, because 80% of the people in Massachusetts, the opiate addicts, are dying of heroin and fentanyl. So we got to dry up that source.
What does that mean exactly? You mean getting tougher on enforcement?
Oh, absolutely, in cooperation with the feds, because the feds know how that stuff gets in here. They don't manufacture that in Massachusetts. Fentanyl comes from China, and heroin comes from Taliban Afghanistan. They both come over the Mexico border. That's why the president wants to build a wall. He wants to stop the drugs. Collaterally, he will also control immigration. But he knows that that's how it's coming. And the feds know how that poison's coming into Massachusetts. What we need is joint federal and state task forces. But Maura Healey's not doing that. She right now is running her office as if Massachusetts was a sanctuary state. So she's not cooperating with the feds. And to me, that's an insult to any federal taxpayer in Massachusetts, because we're paying for those law enforcement assets. So that's the second approach. And my third approach would be extreme prosecution. Take them to the max. If you can tie the defendant to the drugs, put that guy away for years and years. The only way to drive it out of Massachusetts is by extreme prosecution. Not like we've seen in Salem, where the Superior Court judge let that guy go on probation who was caught with 40 bags of heroin and said to him, if you were a U.S. citizen, I'd have sent you to jail. That's the wrong message.
All right, so three approaches there. Let me ask you about one approach that Maura Healey is dealing with, and I want to get your response to it, and then I'm going to come over to you, Dan Shores. But we're going to get to Maura Healey's other lawsuits in a bit, but one of her legal actions that her office has taken is to sue Purdue Pharma over its role in the opioid epidemic.
Right.
And her case alleges that the company knowingly covered up the addiction risk, used gifts and money to reward doctors who wrote more prescriptions.
That's correct.
A lot's been written about this. You've criticized Healey for filing so many lawsuits, but there's a lot of evidence that this case might, in fact, be based on real evidence. What do you think? I mean, would you support that lawsuit?
Well, first of all, she loves to go after soft targets. Purdue Pharma is easy to find. They're not going to go anywhere.
But not such a soft target, is that? I mean, it's a big, powerful corporation pays folks a lot of money and has distributed a lot of drugs across society.
Oh,
right?
there's no question that they produce opioids, and there's no question that they've given incentives to doctors to meet certain quotas. And if they do meet certain quotas, right, they get certain incentives like vacations down in the Caribbean,
right,
and that
so
sort of thing.
Would you support her lawsuit?
Well, let me say this. That's one aspect of it. But that's not going to stop the heroin and the fentanyl, and that's where the real problem is. What she's doing is she's going after them as if the people on the streets, the drug pushers and traffickers, are taking drugs from Purdue Pharma, and that's not the case at all. What's happening is, in order to get any drugs from Purdue Pharma, you have to get a prescription from a physician. And then you have to go to a pharmacy. So that's already all controlled.
Okay.
She's making a big deal out of a little piece. She should go after the real drug traffickers and pushers.
All right, Jay. I want to come over to Dan now. So let me ask you about how you would approach this epidemic as Attorney General.
Yeah, and it's certainly the scourge of our time. And I've said from the beginning of the campaign, there are three areas that I'd focus on.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is education. I think that's incredibly important. This isn't an underage keg party. You know, growing up, that was really kind of one of the worst things that you could do. This is one strike and you're out. One strike and you're addicted. One strike and you're dead. Regardless, your family, yourself are affected forever. So we need to be very serious about education. And I think the Attorney General's office, the instrumentality that we put about $50 million a year into, can play a critical role in that. And that's through an intensive, more intensive Speakers Bureau program. Get to the kids, get into our schools, tell the kids, let's do not open this door to hell in the first place. So I think prevention is really a fundamental, most critical thing, something the AG's office can play a significant role in. Number two is healthcare. If you fall into that trap of addiction in the first place, healthcare is very important, getting folks back on their feet. I, in contrast to my opponent in this primary, do not think the Attorney General's office has a central role to play in that aspect, because it's not a healthcare provider, doesn't have the expertise. I think the AG's office can direct direct folks to the proper healthcare and the proper resources we have in the Commonwealth. But the third and the most important, the most fundamental aspect of this is cracking down on drug traffickers with the full force and weight of the law. The sitting attorney general has been very soft on crime, and it's very troubling because our attorney general is supposed to be our chief lawyer, our stalwart for the law, our standard bearer. And this attorney general has supported a quote, and those are her words, a safety valve for drug dealers when sitting before a judge during sentencing. And I think that's the wrong signal. As attorney general, I would do my job. I would focus on enforcing our laws and cracking down on the drug dealers.
So, Dan, I want to follow up with you on one question about policy, and that is in April, as you know, the state legislature passed a massive criminal justice reform package that was years in the making. Big part of that bill was getting rid of mandatory minimum sentences for low-level drug offenses. This was around concerns that these minimum sentences are enforced unfairly across racial lines, and also this was done as a way to decrease the number of incarcerations in favor of other options like diversion programs, treatment, and so forth. Would you do you favor that? Do you favor
No.
doing away with mandatory minimum?
No, absolutely not. I think I was very disappointed. And it wasn't just me that was disappointed. It was the majority of district attorneys who came out and spoke out against that. If you ask a district attorney, you know, whether using mandatory minimum sentencing is a valuable tool in their law enforcement efforts, they would say, absolutely. You can leverage it up to get to the larger drug dealers. And so I was very disappointed. It was a very soft on crime bill. And let me just add, if I could, relating to Purdue yep. Pharma, this is one area that I agree with the attorney general on. I think it doesn't matter if you're responsible in one form or another for pushing this poison onto our streets, then you need to be held accountable. And if you're pushing physicians to prescribe 90 Oxycontin pills for a broken arm, for example, or that needs to be investigated. And if you're responsible for, because that leads to the further addiction, you should be, the law should come down on you. And I support that effort in general.
So you support that effort in general by the current attorney general. Let's
yes.
take a phone call. 1-800-423-8255. We're talking to Jay McMahon and Dan Shores. They're Republicans running for attorney general. They want the, I think, are running against each other. The primary in September will decide which one of these two gentlemen will face Maura Healey in November. Let's go to Carly on line 3. Carly, you're calling from New Bedford. Good to have you. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you so much. As far as the Purdue comment, I just wanted to take issue with the first speaker. I apologize.
That's Jay McMahon. That's right. Republican candidate for AG.
McMahon. Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say that I completely agree with the comments that were just recently made as far as how appropriate Maura Healey's actions against Purdue Pharma are. That's exactly where this problem stems from, and his kind of disregard of that action seems to show a level of misinformation about this topic that concerns me as a voter. And I also would just like to ask how either of you would reduce the disparate impact of mandatory minimums, the impact that they have on female offenders. Thank you.
All right, let's do the first one. Jay McMahon, why don't you respond to Carly's concern about the Purdue Pharma case?
Well, again, we were just talking about Purdue Pharma. They're not producing fentanyl that's going on the streets or the heroin. That's 80% of what our people are dying from. They're producing prescription drugs, which are being in the marketplace through pharmacies and through prescriptions issued by doctors. So, I mean, we can, I beg to disagree. I know that the true statistics are showing the deaths of opiate addicts. Again, 80% of them are dying in Massachusetts by heroin and fentanyl. So let me go on to mandatory minimum sentencing. I am in favor of minimum sentencing, and I am in favor of enforcing them. We just had a police officer on Cape Cod that was killed several months ago because of a perpetrator who had pleaded guilty in 2010 to 27 counts of illegal possession of a firearms. In Massachusetts, we still have a law called the Bartley-Fox Law, which is a one-year minimum jail sentence for each count of illegal possession of a firearms. They're now referring to that perpetrator, the person who killed Officer Sean Gannon down in Cape Cod, the Yarmouth police officer, they're referring to the killer as 125. That's 125 convictions he's got on his adult criminal record. If 125 was sentenced, minimum sentences of 1 year for each count in 2010, he would have been in jail till 2037, or 2037, in which case, at the end of his shift, Sergeant Sean Gannon would have gone home to his wife and family and not to the morgue. So minimum sentencing can save people's lives, especially law enforcement. And we need to send the message to law enforcement that we have their back. And we also need to send a message to traffickers of this poison, purveyors of this poison. We need to let them know that Massachusetts is no longer open for business.
All right, Jay McMahon, I want to move on to Dan Shores and give you a chance to respond to the caller's question about the disparate impact of mandatory minimum sentencing.
Yeah, so, I mean, I indicated what my, you know, general position on mandatory minimum sentencing, and I think it actually opens up a larger issue. And I think that this is really fundamentally why I'm running for the Attorney General's office, is that because the law is not being respected. We need to have an Attorney General who is tough on crime, who represents the law. We need to have an Attorney General who's not in favor of Massachusetts becoming a sanctuary state. And again, back to the mandatory minimum sentencing issue just for a second, if we look at the Wayne Chapman case, the recent Wayne Chapman case, if there's ever a time to have a mandatory minimum sentence, it's for an individual who commits a violent sexual crime against a child in Massachusetts. And so I think there's room to be very tough on crime. There's certain areas that we need to do that. We need to respect the rule of law. It goes all the way down to, it opens up to the illegal immigration issue and all the way down the line. I think we're seeing, what we see right now in Massachusetts is this trend where our law enforcement officials, our public officials are favoring issues and matters that are against the law. And that's very troubling. That strikes at the heart of our Commonwealth, all the way back to the founding of John Adams and John Adams's Constitution. He stood for the law. He represented the law. He believed in the law. He believed in this country. He believed in this Commonwealth. And right now, we're heading in a direction that's very dangerous. And frankly, that's why I'm running. I'm running to get politics out of the office of Attorney General and to bring that instrumentality back to where it's supposed to be.
Let's take another call. Let's go to David from Somerville, who's got a question. Go ahead, David. You're on the air. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Thanks for having me. So I know that it's really important for the Attorney General to cooperate with the governor's office to ensure that there's effective law enforcement. So I know that Charlie Baker is facing a primary opponent. So I was just wondering what your stances were on whether you support Governor Baker or Scott Lively.
Scott Lively, of course, picked up about 30% of Republican delegates at the Republican state party convention. I'll start with you on this one, Dan Shores. Do you support Charlie Baker for governor or Scott Lively?
I first of all, do not support Scott Lively. I certainly support the governor. Let me start there. I support Governor Baker. I do not support Scott Lively. Scott Lively's record with respect to discrimination is abysmal, and I don't think he's a proper representative of our Republican Party. I fully support Governor Baker. I believe that his – now, I don't agree with him on a number of issues, okay? So, but there are – centrally, the governor is
– Got it.
Is, okay.
I want to try to move through this issue pretty quickly because there's some other issues I wanted to cover. But, Jay McMahon, quick answer from you on this question. Scott Lively or Charlie Baker?
I'm with Governor Baker. Governor Baker and I have talked about the opiate crisis and what my passion is behind it. Came up to me. He had learned within the last year that I had lost a son to the opiate crisis, and he came up to me, and we discussed that, and we discussed some of my points, what I'm trying to do and what I would do as Attorney General, that my three-prong approach, how I would go after the opiate crisis and tackle it and do something more than just sit by and watch deaths by opiate addiction quadruple each year. It's abysmal of what's happening in Massachusetts.
Okay, just to fact check that. So the number of deaths due to opioid-related overdoses fell by about 10% between the year before and last year. So,
how about since 2011 when they've quadrupled?
But doesn't it mean that given that there has been some progress, that somebody out there, whether it's Governor Baker, whether it's a combination of lawmakers, the legislature is doing something right here?
No, it just means that it's the ebb and flow. It's when the real facts all come in, when the real statistics all come in, when they final total everything, you're going to see that it's on average.
All right. I want to move on a little bit and talk about Maura Healey's many lawsuits and legal actions against the Trump administration, something like 26 to date. You both say that Healey's lawsuits are what? Let me start with you, Dan Shores. You're not a big fan of what she's been doing here. Tell us why.
Anthony, we put as I said before, about $45 to $50 million a year into the Attorney General's office. And that's that budget supports a staff of a little over 200 attorneys. And so that objective of that office is to enforce the laws here in Massachusetts to protect our people. I think the running tally is over 40 lawsuits or other legal actions that this attorney general has signed on to against the White House. And that's compared to zero against the Obama administration. So any rational person will look at that and say that's politically motivated. But the larger issue here, I think, I want to stop you there because
a lot of Republican attorneys general over the course of the Obama administration also challenged him. I mean, this isn't something that the Democratic attorney generals have invented.
I'm not saying they invented it, but they've taken it to a whole new level. Yeah. But the important point here is if you're the person that's responsible for ensuring that our laws are enforced and our people are protected, every lawsuit that this attorney general files against the Trump administration means that one more opioid dealer goes free or one more public official that commits an act of corruption and gets away with it or one more senior who's defrauded. And so she's directing the resources, significant resources, towards politics and to advance, frankly, her own political career and not to help our people here in Massachusetts. I don't care what party you're from, that's wrong. As Attorney General, I will reform the office and get politics out.
All right. Well, let's hear from the Attorney General on this issue, because we've spoken to her about this very thing, and she says essentially that this isn't about politics. It's about enforcing the law and protecting the citizens of the Commonwealth. Here's Maura Healey.
This is about fighting to ensure that women have access to reproductive health care, fighting to make sure that students aren't getting ripped off, fighting to make sure we don't go backwards when it comes to combating climate change and meeting our climate goals for a clean energy economy here in Massachusetts. It's about fighting to ensure that people have access to health care. It's about standing up for civil rights and making sure that when it comes to something like our census, everyone is in fact counted.
So, Jay McMahon, let me come to you. Aren't those issues that an attorney general, state attorney general, should be paying attention to?
Those are the only issues she pays attention to. She doesn't do anything at all about public safety. And when you talk and you were asking us a little while ago about the civil suits that she's been filing against the Trump administration, you only have to look at the first one to see that it's all just a matter of her own political activism. And it is against our public safety interests. For instance, her first lawsuit against Trump was to block his temporary travel ban. Now, the president knows that his responsibility is to keep Americans safe. He got intelligence information from the Obama administration, the holdover from the Obama administration, that there were elements of ISIS and Al-Qaeda coming in from the refugees of six Middle Eastern states, coming in here to kill us. And the president took action and tried to protect us with a temporary travel ban. Now, Maura Healey, knowing that her number one responsibility and priority is to keep citizens of the Commonwealth safe, she went against our public interests and went in to try to block the administration. And you got to ask yourself, who's she representing? The foreign nationals of those six Middle Eastern states? Because she certainly isn't representing us when she's acting against our public interest.
Yeah, but what about, the issue in that lawsuit and trying to ban that travel ban early on? I mean, this was a very broad ban that was keeping academics out of Massachusetts. It was keeping all kinds of people who were involved in productive and legal ways in Massachusetts. So there was a real concern about that.
Yeah, but she went in and said that these foreign nationals have a civil right to be here. They don't. In fact, she manufactured or made up civil rights that don't exist. And when you put that in contrast to what she did just 6 months before in July of 2016 with her infamous enforcement order against certain guns in Massachusetts, she can't even read the Constitution where it says that those rights should not be infringed. And yet she makes up civil rights when she goes and files a lawsuit against Trump. So
wait a minute. We're mixing issues here. Because
I'm not. I'm actually going at the issues.
Okay, but we're talking about Second Amendment rights. And I know Maura Healey has been pretty tough on enforcing Massachusetts. Massachusetts gun laws. And let me ask you about that. I mean, this is a state because of its very tough gun laws, arguably. It's one of the reasons why we've got some of the lowest, the lowest rate of gun deaths per person in all 50 states. Maura Healey is in favor of those laws, works hard to enforce them. Do you take issue with that?
I most certainly do, because all her enforcement action has been against licensed gun owners. And by and large, in Massachusetts, licensed gun owners do not commit gun crimes. And yet she goes after soft targets, and she goes after restricting licensed gun owners. Yeah. It does nothing for guns that are on the street.
All right, Joe, I'm going to jump in because I want to give Dan a chance on this gun issue. I mean, Maura Healey, among other things, sent a notice to gun sellers and manufacturers that the state would be cracking down on the sale of illegal assault weapons. Good use of the Attorney General's time?
No, I think a better use of the time would be to clarify the law. I think what this Attorney General did was take it was a piece of legislation, if you look at it, copies and duplicates. And the legislation that this Attorney General's office produced was very ambiguous. If you ask, if you ever go out and actually visit with, and I'm a gun owner, visit with and are among folks that own firearms in Massachusetts, they are law-abiding citizens. And they believe in their constitutional right, their Second Amendment right. And I think that's so important. I think it was really troubling to watch the bypass, this Attorney General bypass the legislature and the governor to really issue her own law and to put what I believe is still an unconstitutional order over the heads of law-abiding people in our Commonwealth. Deserve a voice as well.
Right, but this general idea that gun laws are somehow going after law-abiding gun owners, I mean, I've talked to lots of gun owners who say they have no problem with reasonable gun control measures. I mean, do you take issue with that general idea that there isn't room for Second Amendment rights that upholds right to have a gun, but reasonable gun control laws?
Massachusetts has the toughest and most stringent laws on the books. But what happens is, and this is what bothers me and bothers a lot of people, is there'll be one of these horrible mass shootings, mostly in our schools, and it creates a political momentum. And so the first step that the folks from the left take is to just seize guns. And that's not really the approach. Now, here's what bothered me about the red flag bill.
Where are people seizing guns?
Well, that's
in Massachusetts, but as a result, we've got some of the lowest rate of gun deaths per person in all 50 states.
Talk to us in several years, because I think people see that's where this is heading. Now, I'm a problem solver, okay? And so if you look at the issue with respect to school, I'd like to see all this political will that we've received be used to secure our schools. My wife was a teacher on Cape Cod. The school that she taught at did not have a lock on her door. I was afraid. She used to have drills. I was afraid that there was something happening and that she would be in danger. We need to have officers present on schools. We need to secure our schools. I was very disappointed in the red flag bill. We need to have some in the sense that it didn't address these fundamental issues. The problem solving is make our kids safe, give the local instrumentalities funding so that they can secure their schools. Now, that is the type of common sense legislation that we need, that the AG's office should be getting behind, not a witch hunt and a diversion away from the real problems that we have.
Well, I just want to again say that whether you like the laws or not, they seem to be doing pretty good work with the lowest rate of gun deaths per person in all 50 states. But we've got to move on.
You're making it like as if she issues this order in July of 2016 and something happened.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. It was her solution to a non-existent problem to begin with.
Okay, no, I hear your guys' position loud and clear on this. I want to move on to one more issue, because we're really approaching the last minute of this debate. You're both talking a lot about things that Attorney General Maura Healey is doing wrong, but only one of you is going to face her in November. So what's the biggest difference between you two? Let me start with you, Jay McMahon. What's the difference here between you and Dan Shores?
Well, I've said it before. Dan Shores is a nice guy. I actually like him. But I'll tell you,
thanks. I appreciate
that. But here's the difference. I mean, I've been a trial lawyer.
And I'm going to ask you to wrap this up in 30 seconds, then I'm going to come over to Dan Shores.
I've been a trial lawyer since 1988. I have thousands of cases, 30 years in Massachusetts jurisprudence. I have cases in every court that the attorney general operates in.
All right.
So I've got law enforcement experience, I've got military experience, and I've got 30 years here in Massachusetts. I have all kinds of criminal cases, all kinds of civil cases, and all kinds of consumer protection cases.
Got it. So we're back.
I do it.
All right.
I have very
I'm the
strong,
guy.
I
ahead,
have very strong litigation experience, deep, complex cases, multi-billion dollar cases. Some of them are. I'm a graduate of Georgetown Law. I have all the confidence in the world that I can handle this job. The Attorney General is not a trial lawyer. The Attorney General does not appear in court to handle drunk driving cases, for example. The Attorney General has an administrative position. I'm the only candidate in this primary that has the significant public administration experience, and I have a broad legal experience. And I also have a technical background, which means that issues like energy, issues like cybersecurity are right in my wheelhouse, and unfortunately my opponent doesn't have that background.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Dan Shores, Republican candidate for Massachusetts Attorney General, and Jay McMahon, Republican candidate for Massachusetts Attorney General. Thank you both for coming in today. I really appreciated the spirited conversation.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony.
Listeners, stay with us. Just ahead, Senator Elizabeth Warren on why she's opposing the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.